It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Why is it every time you hear Vern, it's like he's just been doing it daily? I guess that's a drop for spec, but you know, it just seems like you hear that promo and you're just like, did Vern just like get off the air last night talking about the Royals game? Don't forget, Vern's Hot Stove Show returns Thursday night at 6 p.m. here on 96.5 The Fan. All things Royals and everything you want to know with that fun, loving, smooth, rugged, sexual sound.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Sounds of Josh Vernier. And also don't forget February 10th. That's a Tuesday, guys. A Tuesday. You're going to put your Tuesday on delay that day. Myself, Bob, Cody, Alex, and C-Dot will all be in studio from 9 until 11 to do the Chiefs off-season show. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a fun one to do as we get to talk about what's next in the off-season. Come February 10th, that'll be the Tuesday after the Super Bowl. So everything will officially be over. The new season will have started and the old season will have ended. What the Chiefs will do, you'll get all of us giving our opinions as well.
Yeah, essentially we get a month from the end of the Super Bowl to the start of the league year for rumors, and hopefully all the coaching stuff is done by then, and then it's all about trades and draft picks and all this kind of stuff.
Find out about Travis Kelce by February 10th?
I'm going to go with the Flies.
Okay, yeah. By the way, to give reference to what Sean Payton said.
Sean Payton. Green linebacker, this game, his ability to attack downhill in the run game. Just how big is that and the timing of it for this one?
You want him to attack downhill? Is that your, like, what do you know about attacking downhill in the run game? You don't know. All right, that's right. But have him attacking downhill. Okay. It's good to have a healthy Dre Greenlaw back in the game. Yeah.
Sweet. Sweet, dude.
I'm trying to think of the words that I can use on the air to talk about that guy.
Asshat.
God.
Kiss my ass.
Look, I'll just say this. That's not a nice human being.
And that's what I said.
I mean, I guess I just don't understand now what reporters are supposed to do, because on Sunday we got mad at Brooke Pryor got mad at a Jacksonville reporter for being nice and kind. Mm-hmm. And then this guy's out here trying to do his job and the coach is an ass to him.
Bullying him.
Bullying. That's a jerk move by Mike Tomlin. And or not Mike Tomlin, I'm sorry. He wouldn't have done that.
Sean Payton.
Like, I'm listening to that. I'm like, man, you are an ass. There's just really no other way to put it. Like, I don't respect him. I have no respect for Sean Payton. I think he's a fraud. And right there to bully a reporter like that, that is just uncalled for. And it puts the reporter on edge. It puts everybody else on edge. It's not nice to do. You embarrass that person in front of people. There should be more conversation about the way that Sean Payton responded to that reporter and the ignorance that he used and the nasty language, tone, whatever you want to say, that he used towards that reporter. Why isn't Sean Payton being held accountable for treating a human being like that, but yet we're mad at a sweet lady who was treating somebody nice? Think about this right now, guys. People have more venom towards Lynn Jones down in Jacksonville for being a sweet, nice lady than they do for Sean Payton for being a jerk.
Sean Payton is dumb, and I don't respect them. Show me your genitals. What? Remember that song, Mac? Never seen that? Never seen The League?
It's not. I've seen The League, yeah.
Yeah, the guy does that song. I forget what his name is.
But Taco?
I don't know. I never saw The League. I just know he's from The League. But yeah, Sean Payton sucks.
But that's okay, though, for him? Like, where's the outcry from people saying that, like, that's not acceptable? That's not an acceptable way to treat another adult. No. I'm tired of I coach in the NFL. I'm smarter and better than you. You're not. You're really not. You're probably not smarter, and you're definitely not better.
Who's he coached for?
Denver.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. That's why the Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question is, as a Chiefs fan or just a fan of nice, who are you rooting for Saturday, the Bills or the Broncos?
Well, now it's 100% the Bills. I mean,
83.5% people say the Bills. 16.5% out of 224 people that have voted vote the Broncos. So that's 16.5% more than I would like to see. We do have 10 comments. We've read five or six of them on the air. Just going to watch because I can't pick sides. Exhausted from the media slobbering all over Josh Allen and the way they do. They try to crowbar Josh Allen over Mahomes, and I could never cheer for Denver. Again, you're not rooting for Josh Allen. You're rooting for the Broncos to lose is what that sounds like. And then there's a couple of meteor pictures. Neither. How can you not pull for Josh Allen with no Mahomes? Yada, yada, yada. I hope the Bills win by 3 touchdowns, and I hope Sean Payton has to eat some crow.
I hope Sean Payton gets his ass kicked.
Same.
I mean, I think everybody's in the majority of there. I mean, you talk about coaches that were let go, and, you know, Mike Tomlin brings up a line of, like, if my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle. That's funny. That's, you know, because that's the question of, well, what if he made that field goal? I don't know. What if the sun rose in the east and in the west and set in the east? It doesn't happen. Don't have to worry about it. What, you like to see Greenlaw get downhill? That's a common term in football. That's not a super nerd term.
No, that's not. Yeah, that's you're not running downhill. That's
not a guy in your text group going, I really love they used the four-guard system last night for KU.
Right.
That was just a straight up like, hey, he's back. He's healthy. You want to see him get downhill and really crash those.
What do you know about running downhill?
So demeaning. And
it really is. Like, I got to be honest, like, the league needs to get involved with this kind of stuff. Like, you mentioned Mike Tomlin. The difference is, yeah, Mike Tomlin has some fun with it, but Mike Tomlin has a respect, I think, for everybody in the room. That's why I always love Bill Self so much, because he has a respect for everybody that was in that room in the media. So I don't.
Who's your Richard of the week?
Well, it could be Sean Payton, but I mean, I think the more you go through this, you see that, like, Matt Quatrero, J.J. Piccolo, Dayton Moore, Ned Yost, for the most part, Ned would go back and forth with Cody at times, but that was Cody. and so I get that. But, you know, have respect for the people that are in there doing a job. At the end of the day, and I think I'm wearing it on the back of my shirt, right? It says, all our successes are tied together. That was Dayton's philosophy when he had the, you know, when he was the GM here, and it's his philosophy for C10 now, his charity, all of our successes are tied together, right? If the Royals win, we did good. The Chiefs win, we've done great, right? Everybody's successes are tied together when it's all one encompassing team. And this reporter doesn't work for the team, obviously, but you know what? If the team does good, he does good. We should all be in this together, rooting for each other. Yeah. Hey, man, we had a great season. Saw a lot of people read your articles this year, man. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Happy to help you be a part of this. Mike Tomlin respected every single person in that room. He had a meeting to shake everybody's hand and to tell them all how he felt and all that kind of stuff. And then you got this jerk out here in Denver who has bounties on people, who demeans reporters, who bullies people. He's a piece of you-know-what for doing that kind of stuff. And I am angry about that, because I don't think that should be acceptable. And I don't think that should be allowed. And I think the NFL really does need to intervene and do that. You can't treat another person like that. It's a guy out there probably making $25,000 a year trying to do his job to the best of his ability, asked a legit football question, and you said, what do you know about running downhill? What a jerk.
Sean, having Greenlaw back for this game, his ability to attack downhill in the run game, just how big is that and the timing of it?
You want him to attack downhill? Is that your, like, what do you know about attacking downhill in the run game? You don't know. All right, that's right. But have him attacking downhill. It's good to have a healthy Dre Greenlaw back in the game. Yeah.
Couple of responses on the text line that are money in the bank, shorting what you drank. The reporter should have responded back, what do you know about it?
Yeah, teach me.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation. I'm here.
But reporters, and I've been in this situation before, you feel like you're not empowered. You feel like you have nothing, because if you say anything back,
exactly,
then these teams are going to react.
And he knows that.
And that's right. So it's okay for that coach to be that way. But if the reporter did that, everybody would be on that reporter. I can't believe you would do something like that. But when a coach does it, we all just look the other way. That guy needs to be held accountable. His owner should come out and go, hey, man, We're not, that's not who we are as an organization. We're not going to stand for you to treat people
or
like
Walmart.
That.
Yeah. somebody says Peyton was going to do exactly what the reporter said and got mad about it. LOL. Because what do you do against James Cook, right? You probably try to run downhill and stop him before he gets uphill and open.
One of your best players who's a linebacker at stopping the run. Like, it's asinine.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
I hate that guy.
I mean, really does. The more I hear it, the more I talk about it, the more venom I had. Play that Women Who Likes a Virginia Slims.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll get into that real quick. Do you guys follow Ricky the Dog? Do you know who that is on Twitter?
No, I don't.
Somebody in the text says, Ricky the Dog on Twitter says, Harbaugh will announce he's going to the Giants today or tomorrow.
Well, Harbaugh is interviewing with the Giants today. He is in Jersey right now. And Ian Rappaport.
That turnpike.
Well, that's the thing. Ian Rappaport just tweeted out this, a good sign for the Giants. His first in-person interview is in New York. So
somebody says on the text, as a Broncos fan, I hate this. He's all about himself all the time. Biggest ego you've ever seen. Love our team and the players. And like where we are at... But I just can't stand Sean Payton. Sean Payton is a piece of trash. What do you know about running out? You don't, right? Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll lighten up the room a little bit because here's Gwen.
My ideal man doesn't play the drums, doesn't stay late at the bar, does what he says and says what he does not get a fancy lawyer that the other person can't afford if things get weird. My name's Gwen. I am divorced. I have two kids, and I will not ever regret having those two kids, okay? So that's really important for me to tell anyone who's listening. I type 110 words a minute. I actually can type faster, but I keep a little bit for myself. I blew out my knee jazzercising, so I don't want a guy that's too active. My best qualities? I own a timeshare. My favorite way to unwind is with a Virginia Slim and a big scoop of cottage cheese, half a tomato. Why I want to find love is I just think that everybody deserves a second chance. I want to go to the PTA with somebody, mm-hmm. not just myself. Oh, there's Gwen. She's divorced. Mm-hmm. Oh, did he run away with his secretary? I left. A great first date with you would be two words. Benihana.
Maybe, just yeah. maybe, I have found my perfect match.
My friend is divorced and sent this to us yesterday on the group chat. You know, and he says, this is legitimately what dating is like right now.
That's awesome.
I know that I'm hard.
And it's one of those old videos of the VHS dating services back in the day. Cottage cheese and a Virginia Slim. Dusty?
Half a tomato, except I'd be full tomato. Thanks to my buddy Trent. He said, John LaJoy is the name I'm thinking of for the Show Me Your Genital song. I'll send it to you in the break.
Okay.
We come back, we'll talk about these coaches? Coach? Whoa. We'll talk about these coaches in the carousel that's gone on so far in the NFL here at 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back, and deep fly to left field. Royals lose. May not have to hear that ever again because the walls come moving in, and the walls. John Mellencamp, who once went by John Cougar, and then John Cougar Mellencamp. Favorite John Mellencamp song?
I have to think about that one.
I Need a Lover That Won't Drive Me Crazy.
It's a good one.
Massively great introduction.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog.
Somebody says that Sean Payton has small penis energy.
Probably.
Agree or disagree?
Men's wieners.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, I hate him. He's so penis, man. Energy. I'll be honest with you. Like he's the
got
least.
An innie?
Yeah. I
that guy sucks.
He's probably the least likable coach in the NFL right now. Maybe one of the most least likable figures in all of the NFL. In sports, I don't know, but I mean, like Tony Romo's unlikable. Like if you're listening to the most unlikable people in the NFL, Romo's
at least Tony's not a Richard.
Well, that is true, but people still don't like him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yeah,
Sean Payton
stupid.
Is unlikable. Nobody really likes that guy. Who else would you put on the unlikable list in the NFL? I'm sure every fan base has, you know, somebody that's on that list and whatnot. But like this guy should be number one or number two on everybody's list. Most likely number two because he resonates with number two more than number one. He should be on everybody's list of guys that you just dislike in the NFL that are basically open sores on the league. That's what he is. He's a seeping open pussy sore on the league. Ooh. That is the National Football. You ever get one of those little pussy sores on your face like a zit that just pusses all day? That's what Sean Payton is on the NFL. He had Bounty Gate and now he's yelling at reporters.
Gun to your head, would you rather have Sean Payton or Nick Sirianni?
Sirianni.
Payton.
Somebody says... I did light research from the 913. Apparently, Sean Payton and this reporter, Luca Evans, are close, and it wasn't as serious as we think, but still hate Sean Payton. Like,
so that's how you treat your friends?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Like, if Matt goes one word, I'm like, what do you know about cottage cheese? You don't. You've had it once. Yeah. Next question. Be like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, if anything, that would mean more to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you and I were close, if Sean Payton and this reporter are actually close, and the reporter's like, wait, I thought him and I had a relationship? This is how he's going to speak to me?
Yeah.
I'd be like, dude, hey, what gives? You know, I'd be like,
yeah, everything all right?
Say something mean to some, like, your friend, and then you get a text immediately after, like, dude, that was uncalled for.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't the time and place.
But, yeah, I didn't appreciate that.
Telling somebody he did a great job is also...
The Giants are going full press on Harbaugh. Really? I mean, listen to this. This is from Jordan Schultz.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
The check is blank?
Yeah, exactly.
No, thank you.
Whatever you thirsty. Need. The Giants' pursuit of John Harbaugh has been aggressive. Phone calls, lunch, private planes, everything you can think of. Now he's officially in their building today, and if the Giants and Harbaugh truly want each other, they could hire him today, as the Giants have compiled with all the necessary rules to make the coaching hire per sources. Other teams patiently wait. And you said who, Rude Dog or somebody was going to be out there?
Whatever his name was, yeah. Tough Dog. I don't know what the guy's name was. Ricky Dog, whatever it was.
Corn who, Dog. Who is he?
I don't know. They just said that today or tomorrow that they would announce the decision that he's going to stay with he's going to be the Giants.
Okay, let me ask you this, but why are you quoting him? Is he like one of these guys that kind of lays in the weed that's had scoops on everything before?
Yeah, he's this insider that has this dog profile picture for as long as I can remember, like a decade now. No one really knows who he is.
I've seen that guy.
Yeah, but he has a good track record of being accurate.
Yeah, he's got some stuff that usually hits.
Yeah. So what did he say? That Harbaugh is not going to leave the Giants facility? Or something?
He said basically like the Giants, John Harbaugh will announce the Giants head coaching vacancy will be his in the next day or two, like today or tomorrow.
Today or tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we'll hear the first domino has fallen. Who is next?
But it is not true. Like, because then it's like, is it Stefanski? What's the offer to Mike Tomlin? What's the trade going to be? Hell yeah, dude. I mean, the Giants to me is the best job. I mean, I don't know what Jackson Dart's ceiling is, but I know from what I've seen and what's coming into the league, that's the best option.
To have a job open with a quarterback that universally everybody thinks is really good, there's not many of those, right? Look at the other jobs that are out there. Obviously, the Lamar and Baltimore one is a different situation, but Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback. Atlanta really doesn't have a quarterback. Tennessee may have a quarterback. The Raiders and Cardinals don't have quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Who else am I forgetting?
Miami,
they don't have a quarterback.
And they're going to be paying one.
And they don't have one.
They paid one to ride the bench for the last three games of the season.
What do you value more? Do you value that QB or do you value the roster?
I think the Giants have a pretty good roster, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You're right. Yeah, I'm not saying the Giants
are the leader in the clubhouse, in my opinion. Maybe not.
And who do you think has the best overall roster of all these teams, though?
I mean, I think the Falcons have the most star power. I just bring it. That's
They've never been good, though, you know?
They won four straight games. They were, they won eight games this season, one or two more. They win that division, right?
I feel like whoever coaches the Falcons, we say, oh, they've got so much star power, and maybe they're 10-6, 10-7.
To your point, you know what the Falcons do have? To me, outside of Pittsburgh, they have the best ownership. I think Arthur Blank's the guy that'll do it for you. I think he's the guy that you can trust.
He fires a lot of coaches, though, man. Like, they made a move on Raheem Morris in less than 2 years, basically.
I get that.
That's fair, but they were with Dan Quinn for quite some time,
were
right?
Were they?
Yeah.
What's quite some time anymore?
4 or 5 years.
I was going to say 5 or 6, so 4 to 6 years.
Yeah, because it's not a long time.
In 2 years, 3 years. Yeah. You get a guy there that's 4 or 5 years, it kind of lets you do what you want to do, kind of develop your system. I think Arthur Blank shows you that, because it's not Vegas. That's not a job that gives ownership.
No, I'm taking that job. Ownership sucks there.
Arizona,
Tennessee. Terrible, yeah. I mean, the Giants are the premier job right now, and they do have good ownership that's been in place for 100 and some years, obviously, 101 years that they've been with that franchise. It hasn't been good right now, but if they make if they get Harbaugh in there, you won't hear about Giants ownership. They'll let their, like, when Bill Parcells was there and Tom Coughlin was there and they were winning, you didn't hear about the ownership. It was all of a sudden when they fired Coughlin, then they shouldn't have. And now you haven't been able to find that replacement for the last 10 years because you've made so many missteps. That's when you hear about it. If they have John Harbaugh, nobody will talk about Giants ownership being bad.
So you think Giants job over the Ravens?
Well, for Harbaugh, yeah.
You were saying that's the top job.
Harbaugh's the top coach, so for him, the best job is the Giants. Yeah, I think the Ravens is the number one job because of Lamar, obviously. Yeah. But Harbaugh's not getting that job. Tomlin's not taking that job. Now the best job is out of the two top coaches, basically.
I'd also like to see what that Ravens job is with an aging Derrick Henry. That's a big bulk of your offense that has, to me, a question mark for next year.
Yeah, trade him.
Yeah.
Steelers, I mean, trade T.J. Watt. Yeah.
You got
yes,
it.
Yes,
that
yes.
Is a must. No-brainer to me.
Right.
And they we'll see what happens because, I mean, this is one of those anomaly off seasons, right? That was the greatest wild cards weekend we've ever seen, at least in my opinion.
It was awesome.
Maybe I'm on an island by myself, but I don't think I am. I think there's a lot of people with credibility that has said this whole wild card weekend, not including the Monday night game because that wasn't the weekend, but every game in the wild card was must-watch television, starting from the first game all the way to the last game on Sunday. It was. that's just the way it is. This is a cool little note from Bob Nightingale. Tampa Bay Rays reliever Griffin Jacks, the first Air Force Academy graduate in MLB history, now joins Team USA in the World Baseball
cool.
Classic.
That's sick.
That's kind of nice.
That is awesome.
Hey, who do you want on Team USA? Give me somebody from the Air Force.
Yeah, dude.
So that, not only can this guy shoot people down, he can beat you on the baseball field, too.
Here's the flyover with relieving pitcher Griffin Jacks. He gets out of the air, gets out of the B-52, gets on the field and strikes out three.
Oh, remember? Imagine that, though. Yes. That would be really cool.
Coming out like Kenny Powers in the Mexican League with the American flag on his back.
Why not? I'm like ready to go. That's awesome.
It's a pretty cool nugget there.
That is great.
Back to the coaching carousel that's going on this year. Do you think a lot of people are looking at guys like Mike Vrabel and Sean Payton saying, see, these guys made it work with a new team and a regime that they trust and they've made it happen, and that's what you'll see the uptick in guys like Harbaugh or a Tomlin, where it's like you look at other guys and like Dan Campbell made it work, right? Wasn't really a hot commodity, I don't believe, at the time. We heard about Dan Campbell, like, who's this guy? Oh yeah, former tight end, does something about kneecaps, and then it worked. Now again, a lot of credibility goes to his coordinators. We'll see what it's like next year. I think his home run hires Mike McDaniel, bring that guy in for your offense. But how much out there, you talk about, you know, changing how things are done in the NFL from a coaching standpoint, how much of it is you don't take the guy that's the former guy?
There's a lot to be said in that because, you know, nobody has won a Super Bowl with two different organizations ever, right? And so Harbaugh's already got that one. And I know I've seen on X and whatever, well, you Giants can't hire this guy. He already won a Super Bowl. It has never been done before. But I think that's a fallacy to look at that. There are certain guys I would never touch again, like Todd Haley, right? I don't even know the high schools are looking at that guy. But a guy like John Harbaugh, yeah, you absolutely have to go full in on John Harbaugh. He's a proven winner for 20 years in this league, right? And so there's not many of those guys around. You got your Andy Reid's, you got your John Harbaugh's, you got your Mike Tomlin's, you know, your top coaches of this, you know, era that, you know, have constantly won and done it. And John Harbaugh could have his Andy Reid moment where he goes to New York and, yeah, he does have that Super Bowl, but just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it can happen, right? And you should never plan, you know, your hiring practices or your daily activities or your betting really on things that what has happened, right? Well, just because it has happened doesn't mean it can't happen in the future or won't happen in the future. And so I just think right now, if you're the Giants, John Harbaugh is a godsend for you right now. You're not going to, you couldn't have dreamt up a better replacement and a better guy to take over your franchise. And that guy's available. Like, that's what I'm saying, like with the conspiracy theories and all this kind of stuff. They need to get New York back in the NFL. Judy Batista, and she's right, and I know people will debate this based on where you live, but she referred to the Giants at NFL.com as the league's flagship franchise. Mm-hmm. When you're using terminology like that, you know the league's involved to make sure that this thing gets fixed, because New York on both ends has been a dumpster fire for a decade.
Because if you were the general manager of the Giants and somebody said, hey, you can have Harbaugh or you can have Marcus Freeman.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with Harbaugh. Proven in the NFL. He's proven in the NFL. Tough one. Tough for me. Because I think Marcus Freeman's a hell of a leader,
and he's a guy that hasn't gotten a chance, but it could be a new guy that creates something that we've never seen before, but we don't know that because he wasn't given a chance.
I think he fits the role in Pittsburgh or Baltimore better because they're a winning organization, and the Giants aren't right now, right? The Giants have gone 10 years of doing absolutely nothing, and so they need to bring in somebody with that credibility, who's been there, who's done that. I think every opening and who they should hire is a separate conversation of where you were, where you've been. Like, Arizona should be lucky to get anybody. Then you've got the Raiders, which is next. And, I mean, good luck getting anybody for that job, too. But if you're like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and the Giants, those are three premier openings right now in the NFL. Tomlin would be perfect for the Giants or Baltimore. I think Freeman would be perfect for all three of those jobs, but are all those jobs perfect for everybody? And so what I'm getting at is, if you're the Giants, you just need that proven adult winner in the room, and that's why you hire John Harbaugh. If you were coming off of John Harbaugh and you had a lot of success, Marcus Freeman would be a good option for you. The Giants need credibility back.
Mac Ewen for proven veteran guy coming out of a situation, or do you want to see somebody that's got a track? Like, for instance, it would be like, okay, the opening in Baltimore. Let's take that.
Mm-hmm.
You want Mike Tomlin or you want Nathan Shielhaus?
For that specific job with Lamar Jackson, I'm going new. I'm going new. I'm going innovative. I'm going fresh.
But they're also talking about hiring that Jesse Minter, who's a defensive guy. And, yeah. You know, Harbaugh, obviously, a special teams guy. I would think, and again, you can't do this, though. You just can't do what I'm about to say. Like, well, I bring in an offensive guy to help Lamar. No, I want the best leader of men, and let him hire the best staff underneath. My head coach needs to be a CEO. I shouldn't have to worry about what side of the ball he's on. Who is going to be the best leader of this organization? Because X's and O's just don't matter when you're the head coach. And who's got the best Rolodex, and who's going to hire me the best offensive coordinator to work with Lamar? That's who I want as my head coach.
Because I think you could almost see this year's coaching changeup be more impactful than what happens with draft picks.
I agree.
As I mean, yeah. We'll sit back and we'll be like, okay, is Moore from Oregon going to be better than Mendoza? That mm-hmm. might be the only storyline we hear coming into the draft, whereas like, okay, I'm more interested to see like, can Harbaugh do it outside of Baltimore in New York? Can Tomlin do it in Miami, for instance? I'm just throwing out a team. And, like, I think more people will be interested in that, in my opinion, coming from legacies and what they built and who's going to take over these new jobs, because there are 9 openings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of conversation we had. You had 9 different conversations about 9 different teams to see what somebody can do. And I hate to break the news to you, 5 of those jobs are going to be guys that you haven't talked about, I haven't talked about, Mac hasn't talked about in the last 2.5 weeks. It'll be somebody like, oh, yeah, that's that guy. That
Robert
was,
Sala.
Like,
his name is not being mentioned for anything.
Really?
I have not seen
I've
it
seen
mentioned.
Him in interviews.
Yeah, I saw I got interviewed.
Oh, he did get an interview?
Not
okay.
an interview, but I saw that, like, Arizona's seeking him out. I saw that, like...
And if I'm at Robert Sala, I'm looking at Arizona.
Cleveland's another one.
Thanks, but no thanks. I just came from the Jets. I'm not going to the Cardinals or the Browns.
Yeah, Flores is another guy that's probably going to get a job somewhere. That like,
I hope so.
Because that's what we do this year, right? Like, we look back and we're like... Shane Steichen. Oh, yeah. He ran the offense in Philadelphia. What happened to that offense in Philadelphia? It plummeted. Oh, yeah. Ben Johnson. He was in Detroit. Turned down a couple jobs. How's Chicago doing? Those are guys with unproven track records
mm-hmm.
that were good coaches this year. You got the guy in Canales in Carolina.
Yep. Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen's another one. Like, that's a trend that is starting to pick up, and maybe the new way that they're doing things is doing that. It's less expensive.
Yeah.
For one, Harbaugh's going to, you know, break the bank. Like they always say, back the Brinks truck up. That's what's happening in Jersey right now.
As it should with that situation. But sure. If you're another situation, you don't need to be that kind of hire.
Or
the Giants don't have a choice.
Or here's a rock star one. Lane Kiffin realized he got in the wrong organization. He goes, I'm going to go coach my guy Jackson Dart in New York.
You know, the Giants may say, hey, see ya. Yeah, if I'm the here. Giants, I wouldn't touch Lane Kiffin.
I mean, because you have to think with 9, possibly a 10th opening, say Buffalo loses this week to Denver and McDermott's out. 10 openings, right? Maybe Lane does fire up some conversations.
Well, I will say, if you're Buffalo at this point in time, don't fire your guy now. You don't want to be in the mix with 10 openings.
But how but it goes back to if Buffalo opens up, it is the number
most
one
job.
It's number one.
Yeah, because of Josh. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Josh, I mean, the team's pretty good. I mean,
you just signed your running back up for the future who's 26.
It's a solid organization.
I think as long as you're in the playoffs, you keep McDermott. If you're Buffalo, the minute he misses the playoffs, then you have that opportunity to get rid of him.
Yeah, and seeing some of the nerd stuff come out. He's been kind of a wizard these past few weeks with that defense. He does not have a lot of talent. He's got injuries on that defense, and he's disguising stuff and making it work.
People would disagree and say they gave the ball back to Trevor Lawrence with 1:04 left with the best kicker in the
coaching decision. Yeah, coaching decision on offense. His defense, though, has been there.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of that, man. I'm never one of these guys. It's so hard to score a touchdown in this league. We have seen it here for years in Kansas City. Getting a freaking yard has not been easy. You're in a playoff game. You score. You play defense. I don't think that you're in that. Especially Buffalo, who we've seen blow a 13-second lead, right? Like, I don't think that you're in position to say, all right, we're going to, you know, take a knee here and wait till third down to go in to try to run all the time off the clock. Because, again, what if you don't score?
Yeah, the what ifs, too. You got to take the score. I'm with you.
It's too big of a risk. It's too big a risk in a playoff game. Because if he didn't do that and was kneeing like that, and then they got stopped and they kicked the field goal and tied the game, and then Jacksonville won in overtime, everybody would be going, I don't understand what he was doing there. Score! Get in the end zone! It's a no-win situation.
Your porn stash friend, Arthur Smith, has now received requests to be interviewed for the Arizona Cardinals job and the Titans job.
They were built for Titans. Didn't they fire him?
As the OC, yeah.
He left as the OC. That's right.
Yeah, he was their best OC in that tenure, I guess. Yeah. Whatever that means. Offense was never electric, right? It was Derrick Henry and a couple play-action passes.
And the Dolphins are going to interview with D coordinator Anthony Campanelli for their head coaching job.
I've heard some things about that guy.
Where is he at?
He's the Jaguars DC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's that name where it's like, this isn't.
I was gonna say that's the name I haven't heard.
Yeah. It's a interesting one. Boomer Esiason's been talking about him. I think he's from New Jersey and he's got like a thick Italian accent, probably. You know, like one of those things. Like, this guy'd be perfect for the Giants. He fit in. He's going to perform. You know, like. But that's the only reason I've heard that name kind of bantied about. Okay. But like, that may be a name to kind of watch, that Jags defensive coordinator. Yeah, but if I'm Robert Saleh, I'm telling Arizona and Las Vegas and all these other Clevelands. Yeah. I just coached the Jets, man. Like, I ain't going back to one of you rum-dums. Be adults. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah,
like,
he can pull a Ben Johnson and kind of stay in San Francisco, have success, mm-hmm. be that amazing DC, and kind of choose your job.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to get a job who we've talked about as OC for a long time, but it just every team that we bring up with an opening or a need of an OC, oh, he'd be the perfect OC. Mike McDaniel's going to get one of these head coaching jobs. There's too many. And he's the dream OC for every opening that every team wants an OC. He's the number one. He's going to get a
head
coaching job.
But is he your dream head coach?
No, but one of these head coaches, one of these teams, rather, an Arizona, who's not going to get any of those options, is going to go, well, I'll get the dream OC and hope it goes better.
He's like, I'll make it work with Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. and another receiver we drafted in the draft this year, and maybe they draft a quarterback. I don't know. They pick
exactly.
Third.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, and like he's you had mentioned earlier, the Giants pursuing everything with John Harbaugh, with private planes, everything you could think of, lunch, dinner, a movie.
Is there something like you would think if you'd walk in that they'd have and you go, oh, I'm taking the job because that's really cool?
Yeah, like, Bruce was sitting there. Welcome to Jersey. I'd be like, okay, I'm in.
That's not a bad idea. Hard. Like, you find out who John Harbaugh idolizes, and have that guy. Like, Bon Jovi's a bad example because he's a Patriots fan, but like, yeah, Bruce. Like, say he was a huge Springsteen fan, and Springsteen's a big Giant fan. I don't know if he is or he isn't.
He is.
Okay, so bring him into that room. That would be. Yeah. Now, I don't know if Harbaugh is a Springsteen fan, but if he was, that would be. Yeah, that's
wild. Man, I know the glory days were Baltimore, but this is the Thunder Road here in New York, and you could really be born again in the USA, baby.
Oh my God, that would be cool.
I'm in.
Just bring somebody in that you like walk in the room that you have no idea is there. Yeah. You open the door, you're like, oh, so there's this.
I'm thinking of bada bing, you know. That's not far from the stadium. So.
No. I don't know, man. I don't know what you'd have to look up. I feel like Harbaugh would be like a, you know, classic guy. You know, you bring in like the Stones.
Like Steely Dan.
I don't know, man. You have to figure that out.
Yeah, like if this band was sitting in the lobby when you were getting ready to interview for a job because they wanted you so bad, what band would be in that lobby where you would say, yeah, I'm taking this gig? That would be cool.
It'd be awesome.
How you doing? I'm Bruce Springsteen, Giant fan.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, John.
Oh, you know my name.
Yeah.
Oh, I know everything.
Yeah, Goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like bringing, like, that's the hidden gem. Like some.
Like somebody. Who's the closer, right?
Yeah, exactly. The closer.
Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, if the Chiefs were interviewing for somebody, you know, offensive coordinator-wise, and they didn't know anybody or head coach, you bring a Patrick, if that's the guy you really want, close the eye on Patrick Mahomes, I'd like to have you here, right? That probably work.
It would work. Yeah. It would help.
Yeah.
Need a right field bat.
Who can we bring in for that?
Hey, Mahomes, Kelsey, and Taylor are all going to be in the room together. We're just going to have a conversation. Oh, my God.
Hey, where's Bellinger?
Yeah. Welcome to the team, Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
No, Bellinger wants too much money.
Can you believe this guy? And then the Yankees go, we're out. And then Boris goes, wait a second here. Yeah. Hold on. Wait, hey, hang on. We don't mean that much. Oh, so he's got no other offers.
Cody Bellinger wants a 7-year to $155 to $170 million. He'll get it. Somebody will give it to him. I don't know.
Who?
I don't know. Yankees eventually will fumble because they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
People are mad about the Royals. They're thinking, one of the richest franchises in sports. And they're like, we're good.
Yeah, but in all fairness to everybody out there, nobody's doing anything.
They're also a black hole. People will gravitate towards them and it'll be like the guys that like were like, you know, we're over here like everybody in Kansas City wants Duran. Duran will just land on their porch front step like a stray cat. They're like, yeah, we'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, they got Duran. Like, you go back in the season, like, this guy hits 280, 25 home runs. Anybody could have had him. Yankees get him because they're the Yankees. Pinstripes sell, whether you hate it or not.
Yeah, it does, man. It's sexy. Guys want to be wearing the Yankee uniform, man.
Somebody says to bring in Paige Spiranek for Dusty, and he'd say yes, absolutely. Coming up on the other side, we wrap this show up, get you ready for Thursday's show, and we'll talk about Dante Moore. Will he declare? I think so. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that sucks.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Diana Rossini, right? Big Dust, big fan of ours. Great on Radio Row last year at the Super Bowl. She tweets out an hour ago, the Bears process last year was a good one. Their head coach candidates were put through situational football scenarios and asked to explain in real time how they'd manage key decisions. Sure hope every team is doing this this time around too. A response from no one says, does every team not do this? She responds with, they don't. That's insane to me.
I think it depends on who the coach is, right? Like, do you really need to hear John Harbaugh tell you how he's going to manage a 3rd-and-2 situation or something like that? I don't. But I do need to hear from somebody who doesn't have the track record. I wouldn't mind.
Because I know how John Harbaugh would do that with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. I'd like to know how he would do that with Jackson Dart and the Giants.
See, I would ask, the first question that I would ask John Harbaugh is, what would you do differently here that you didn't get to do in Baltimore? And why didn't you get to do that in Baltimore? Why or didn't it did work wrong. In Baltimore? That's what I'm getting to. Yeah. Like, I want to know more about what failed mm-hmm. in Baltimore, what you learned from that, and how you're going to implement that moving forward for our organization. That's where I care about, John. I don't care about in-game situations for a guy like him or Tomlin. But some of these other guys, yeah, you'd like to know how they're going to handle certain things. And how are you going to handle people? Can you manage people? Because that's what a head coach is. If you don't have the ability to manage people and relate to people, you're not going to be a good head coach in this league.
You would love to be in the coach's room, wouldn't you?
Oh, this would be awesome. This would be fantastic, dude. Come on. Oh, not that one.
I know that I'm hard. How about this? This is from yesterday. Breaking, pending committee approval, players can now play in 9 games and keep their red shirt instead of the current 4-game rule.
I don't care what they do anymore. Like, seriously. Like,
jump the shark?
Yeah. It's like I saw something the other day. NCAA president, yeah. This guy. I'm like, we still play have this stuff?
Season.
Like, I don't care. I really don't. Do whatever the hell you want. It just doesn't affect me.
The combined age of the quarterbacks in the national championship is 46.
You just have to start looking at some, yeah, but that could be like normally it would be what 42, 41, you know 20 40, and 20, you know. So that's not that big a deal. I don't care. I really don't care what they do anymore in college sports. Just do whatever you want to do. And if everybody's happy, then just who cares?
That was kind of like Bill Selsman motto last night.
What's
do whatever you want to do and be happy. They won by 21.
They won by 20. Apparently, they had a team meeting, right?
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they had the players only meeting. Yep. It wasn't at Henry T's because that's closed. But the last time they had a players only meeting up in Lawrence, they won the national championship in 08, right? So they had that. So I'm sure every KU fan is loving the fact that they had a players only meeting. Players meet. You have these things when you're not doing well, right?
And yeah, Bill Self said, "I didn't know they should meet every.
They should meet every night. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. That's why I love Bill Self. He's like, great, good for them.
Keep doing.
They should
it.
Do it more often.
Yeah. Why not? Where'd you guys meet last night? We were at the Wheel until 2 a.m. We had a great meeting.
Good. Do it again.
If it ain't broke, dude.
What'd you guys take away? Honey on your crust is the way to go.
Yeah. Good. Do it again. Get a Wang burger over there from Dr. Wu. Let's call it a day.
Do we need to question Harbaugh's track record? Because you were like, I know his track record. And then I'm like, well, what is his track record?
He's always winning. He's putting you in a position that the Giants have not been in a very long time. He's credibility. If you are the Giants, you cannot hire another guy that hasn't done it before.
I agree.
You just can't. You've done that now four or five, I don't know how many times since Tom Coughlin. They've hired some schlep in a suit that didn't fit that one time. That Mr. Magoo guy that was there for
McAdoo.
Mm-hmm. That suit that he wore in his opening press conference still had the tag on the sleeve, and it was 6 sizes too big. Go back and look at McAdoo's suit on his opening press conference with the Giants. That guy went to effing Kohl's and bought that thing off the rack 30 minutes before the event.
Hey, they got good stuff there.
And so not for an NFL head coach. You got to get a tailored suit for your press conference. You can't look like a kid in 3rd grade wearing his dad's hand-me-downs. So that they had that guy. Then they had there was another guy that they had that's out in Colorado now as like the offensive coordinator. and his dad was a coach in the league. I can't remember the guy's name. He was there for a hot. So they've had like five coaches in the last 10 years. The Giants can't afford to go out there and hire somebody who's never done it before. They'll lose their organization. They'll lose their fan base if they introduce Bob Fesco as the head coach of the Giants. You introduce John Harbaugh, you're selling tickets.
Mm. Yeah, Ben McAdoo, Spags for a year, Pat Shurmur.
Pat Shurmur, that's the guy.
Joe Judge, then Daboll, and now we're here.
Yeah, so they've had five coaches since they fired Tom Coughlin. Yeah, go with somebody who's never done it before.
I agree. Harbaugh is a great option, and he probably should be the number one candidate. I just think we're thinking about Harbaugh as this like Hall of Fame savior of a franchise, whereas in all reality, and I don't think this is a bad thing, I just think this is the truth. I think he's kind of a bridge coach on steroids.
I don't have a problem with that.
Absolutely, and you shouldn't. Giants should want that.
They need stability.
They need
a foundation. They need somebody who knows what they're doing.
Great. I'm with you. As long as we're on the same page, I'm worried when he gets hired for wherever he chooses to be. Oh, here we go. Bring in like a Super Bowl. Yeah, of course. Right. But it's like, no, he's going to make you a 9, 10, 11, 12 win team. He's going to get you to the playoffs. He may win you a couple playoff games. Past that, I don't know. It would take a great team with Harbaugh.
What if we had found out and he goes to the Giants and it becomes what Andy Reid did here in Philadelphia and in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes? What if we find out Lamar was holding him back the whole time? Because they're not speaking now, obviously.
True.
What if that happens? What if he comes in here? Because if I'm John Harbaugh and I take that Giant job with Jackson Dart, I'm calling Andy Reid and I'm going, what did you do to go from Philly to Kansas City? What did you change? Because it's very similar. They're obviously boys. You know? So I would be on the phone with Andy Reid all the time, picking his brain of what he changed, what his biggest adjustments were, the biggest things he needed to look at to move forward. And now I've got this quarterback. What can I do? And man, I'd be picking the brain of Andy Reid every single day.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of on Mac's side where like he won four playoff games since he won a Super Bowl in 2012. Now,
More than a lot of these losers have ever won.
I think the Giants would just take a playoff game and then you can kind of set the standard. But I think that's.
But we're not also talking about a Giants franchise. It's the Arizona Cardinals. We're talking about one of the premier franchises, if not the flagship team of the NFL. Right. I mean, they've got four Super Bowl championships. They've got Super Bowl championships in our lifetime. Some of these organizations don't. So, yeah, no, they just need stability. They need an adult just like the Chiefs did. It's very similar. The Chiefs went through coach after coach after coach after controversy after nonsense, and they finally said, we need an adult in the room. And miraculously, Andy Reid happened to be available that year. You're seeing the same thing with the Giants. They needed an adult. They need an adult. Miraculously, John Harbaugh is available for this position. Go. You weren't going
to
do better.
From the 785, I just went to the YouTube and watch the video of Ben McAdoo getting interviewed in his suit. That is so GD funny. I forgot all about that.
I'm going to have to watch that again today.
We'll do it in the post-production 100%.
Meeting. I love the fact that somebody immediately went, all right, I got to see this. I went and looked at it and went, oh my God!
So it's obvious that Dante Moore's going to the league because Raiola wouldn't go to Oregon.
Or Dante Moore may be transferring somewhere else. He's got a 17th year of eligibility, I think, granted, right?
Yeah, with Trinidad Chambliss doesn't get that for Ole Miss for whatever reason, but everyone else gets it. That's so stupid. Just do what
that's
you want.
That's why I'm like, I just don't care. Yeah. It's so stupid.
I don't think Dante Moore would transfer because didn't we hear from Mr. Nike that get whatever you want, you come back here.
And then Dylan Raiola said, hey, by the way.
I'm going to go over there. Yeah, which is exciting.
I think so.
Yeah. So it does seem like this is the day to declare. It's your last day.
This is it?
This is your last day.
Oh, okay.
Shuts off today. Just like Friday is the last day for my Quick Trip that I always go to. They're going to shut it down, it, and turn to a parking lot because they're opening a new one right next door.
Oh, yeah, that's the trend.
It's so funny to go to the Lee Summit community page and people go like, this
is the new one open before they close the old one, though?
No.
Oh.
Wow. Dang.
But here's the thing. On the Lee Summit community page that I love so much, it said, does anybody know what's going on with the old Quick Trip and what they're doing? And all the response were, you could go in and ask. The responses on community pages, if you don't follow one that you're in the city of, I highly suggest you go follow your community page. Also, you must really love college football if you're going to the game because it's going to cost you at the cheapest to park $750.
Got to figure out how to make money.
Would the boss get mad if I Ubered to that game?
There's the tweet I think says like, hypothetically, what if I just parked my car, had it towed, got Ubered over to the tow place, paid to get rid of it. Like, would that be less than just parking?
$250 to get your toe out of impact.
Cash only.
$750.
Cheapest parking spot they can find.
I mean, come on.
You can get a Royals playoff ticket for cheaper than that.
Yep. You can park across the street for just under $300 and you'll walk through a tunnel. So there's still room there.
I mean, that is because the tickets are egregious. Like the cheapest ticket of the game is like $3,500.
Like $3,800 was to get in on $750 to park? That can't be right.
At the Hard Rock.
That can't be the cheapest available park.
So $3,800. So you're already in $4,500 just parking and tickets. Mm-hmm. One ticket and parking, $4,500.
Yeah, Andy Slater, $747. Cheapest parking on stadium ground.
He knows what's
up. What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on in Miami?
On stadium grounds for the national championship game next. Yeah.
Yes, okay. That's what he said.
There's a huge discount across the street using the walkway through those passes at $280.
Oh, you were being serious about that.
I thought that's across the street for $300.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about like at you know Arrowhead where you park on the other side and walk through that tunnel, you know, by the other parking lot on the east
and
side.
And what's funny is the graph that they show, it's like 747. 747, and they all just say one left. There's one spot left, and all these
people are buying them.
Well, they have to. You got to park to go to the game.
Wow,
you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Hey, coming up next, it's Cody Golden, Drew from 10 to 2. But as always, go do something nice for somebody today. You never know, it could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Ben Maller here on 96.5 The Fan. Take care. Cheers.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.